Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
So is it Matt, Patricia, Mike Vrabel? Who has a better year?
Vrabel.
I mean, I love Mike Vrabel.
Oh, Matt, Patricia, all day long.
Really?
Coaching your first game against the hoodie.
Bill Belichick is a man of the people.
Why is Malcolm Butler so bad?
Duck boats.
Are we building a great, big, 6'5", 235-pound straw man?
Nate's older. Why'd he play left tackle?
Oh, jeez.
Malcolm Butler was killing him out there.
Bill made the right decision.
Maybe he's just not that good.
That's crazy.
Right now.
I'm going to call him Dick from now on.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Checking the emails.
So it's all coming back to
I've
me.
Been ignoring my emails here. Is anybody emailing us saying we about can't what? Say certain words or something today?
No. I was actually a little nervous about yesterday's show, but I've confirmation that we are good to go.
Golden.
We can call Kirk whenever we want to. Apparently
we can.
On the show.
Get him on the show. That's what I heard.
Feinbaum is made the list, made contact with Feinbaum yesterday.
So why don't we do that tomorrow? Kirk and Feinbaum.
Kirk
They're
and
a lot
Feinbaum.
Alike. We'll get them both on the show tomorrow.
All I'll tell you about that Feinbaum show, man, they let anybody on. Hey. They let anybody on that show.
Even you?
Anybody. They let them talk forever.
Right. No, they don't.
I was listening to it. They talk forever. They don't shut up. Yeah. Every Southern redneck hick you can find is allowed a platform to just ramble, ramble, ramble.
Well, instead of being a dope from Boston, they know college football doesn't have any weight here in Boston.
They don't like people from the North. They don't like Yankees. I'm telling you right now, it's Feinbaum. He's racist against people from the North.
There's no college football.
You know what,
Cantor? You need to be like that Alabama.
I'm going to call him again today.
Right, you will.
How about that?
All right, I got to get to this because the Red Sox have just issued a statement. First of all, let me just be ultimately clear about this.
Ultimately?
Bill James is a complete buffoon. To Sam Kennedy, to John Henry, to Tom Warner,
to
everybody over there with the Red Sox organization.
Walk away.
How many times must this buffoon embarrass you before you finally say, Bill, it's been nice. Here's the door. See you later. Goodbye. So if you missed it, apparently we don't need the Lou Merlonis of the world. We don't need the Christian Fouriers.
No, we just don't need athletes.
We don't need athletes.
Game just moves on.
All we need are these bright geeks.
So what happened? So apparently he responded. I think it was Silverman? Who sent out the quote from Scott Boras talking about the salaries and everything else. And he responded with it and talking about how all these players, some of them are overpaid. Then he got into a back and forth, which is when he threw out this. If the players all retired tomorrow, we would replace them. The game would go on. In 3 years, it would make no difference whatsoever. The players are not, in capital letters, the game any more than the beer vendors are.
And he believes it, believe it or not. I've dealt with this guy before. He believes
I actually read this.
It.
I thought the guy was drunk when he was writing it.
My thing would be this.
And then
same
I saw a picture of him, and I was convinced. That face, that
this
body
is the, this
goes
is,
with these quotes.
This is the easiest thing ever. And I don't know if they want to avoid timing. I don't know if they want to quietly do this in another 2 weeks. But he's like an advisor for them, right? I mean, I know he's listed. I know that John Henry brought him on back in 2002.
Loved him.
When he was maybe on top of some things, kind of where the game was headed. I understand that and all. But you don't need him anymore. Walk away. They have guys right now that work with Dave Dombrowski, underneath Dave Dombrowski, that are better than Bill James. His time is over. Yeah, he brought this, but now these kids going to school, the sabermetrics, the numbers, the studies, the this, the that. It's kind of like the stuff that he did, but it's over with. Just walk away.
So you got players.
It's not worth it.
You got players responding. Just Verlander talking about the Red Sox win without Mookie Betts, without J.D. Martinez. The Red Sox have finally responded. And unfortunately for the Red Sox, this is eerily close to what they have done every other time. Bill James has said something stupid. They come up with the exact same reply, and for some reason they don't get rid of him. And I've got to believe this is that connection with John Henry, because Henry, loves this guy. Here's the Red Sox statement. Bill James is a consultant to the Red Sox. He is not an employee, nor does he speak for the club. By the way, you look at the press guide, he's on the masthead, okay?
Prominently.
on the masthead of the, you know the masthead? You know what that is, Liz?
Keep going.
I'm going to kill you today. This is going to be one of those days. Like
Angry himself. Glenn.
His comments on Twitter were inappropriate and do not reflect the opinions of the Red Sox front office or its ownership group. Our championships would not have been possible without our incredibly talented players. No crap. They are the backbone of our franchise and our industry. To insinuate otherwise is absurd. Here's the problem.
Wait, what was that? Geez, that statement sounded familiar.
It is familiar because every time this buffoon,
just say it. Go ahead.
This buffoon has done something stupid, they have come out and said the exact same
thing. Actually, as a matter of fact, about a year ago, let's just say, 2017.
That was the Kevin Spacey controversy.
Yeah, when he sent out, he posted a poll on Twitter, and he asked, the poll question was whether Kevin Spacey and other public figures should have to answer for, quote, unsubstantiated allegations about what happened 30 years ago. So, and I think, you don't know if you continue with it or not. So basically sitting there going, oh, come on. I mean,
we're
really
going to
question what this guy did 30 years ago.
By the way, as the gory details were already being publicized at the time, that's what he did. You know why? Because he is one of those, I love Hollywood, and I love what they do. They dream and they imagine. He's one of those guys, so he wanted to dismiss them. He did the same thing with Joe Paterno.
So the Red Sox sent out, Bill James is a consultant to the Red Sox. He's not an employee. Nor does he speak for the club. His tweet's inappropriate, and we're just wrestling with him directly. Right. I mean, it's pretty much.
Jack,
take out tweets and comments.
It's like the same statement. Let's
change the date.
Hey, somebody, John, go find the statement from 2012.
The statement in 2012 was?
Regarding what? Paterno?
When he defended Joe Paterno.
Sandusky,
yeah. Repeated assaults of underage boys saying, quote, it's quite common 40 years ago.
You want to hear it?
For grown men to shower.
He was on the Doug Gottlieb show.
You want to hear it? Because he said this.
It was 2012.
Publicly. Whose radio show was it?
Doug Gottlieb.
Oh, pretty popular radio show at the time. This buffoon, okay, nerd, Bill James.
I disagreed with your saying that the Paterno family was lying about it. Paterno was mistaken about what he remembered, what he was told in 1998. But he was asked about it 13 years after the fact, and he was quite old, and he didn't remember the 98 business at all, in large part because the police had totally cleared Sandusky at the time. And so it is uncharitable and inaccurate to say that the Paternos are lying about something that, in fact, he was simply mistaken about.
Well, that's not even as worse as the other comment. I don't know if we have it. Ryan? This is the one where you start going, eh?
Have you ever showered with a boy? No. Do you know anyone who showered with a young man who they were not related to, was not their young son?
Yes, that was actually quite common in the town where I grew up, and it's quite common in most of America 40 years ago.
Okay, and I just found out he grew up in Lynn. He grew up in Lynn, Massachusetts. and went to the local YMCA.
As you know, years later, I have issues with that, and there's a problem I have, and I should have had a problem.
So that was 2012?
Yeah. 2012.
Okay, so,
you want to look at the Red Sox? They did the exact same thing. They separated themselves from it.
Wait a second, 40 years ago? So what, the early 70s? Grown men were showering with boys they didn't know?
He said it was commonplace.
He said
he never did. Okay, but he said it was commonplace in the town he grew up in. So he grew up in Lynn.
Good.
Right down the street from where Ordway grew up.
Okay, you know what his problem was?
Right down the street from the Y.
Here's his problem. With the Spacey stuff, he is a closet Hollywood fanatic. He loves Hollywood.
Oh, that's not it.
No. Let me give you the rest of it.
So he's obsessed with Hollywood?
No, with Joe Paterno? He was obsessed with Penn State. He loves it. He's like a fanboy.
Is he from Pennsylvania?
I don't know. Kansas, I believe. He's a fanboy. So he was a fanboy of Penn State. So therefore, Paterno could do no wrong. Sandusky is misunderstood. Come on. Years ago, 40 years ago, we all showered with kids, or kids showered with adults. But the Red Sox keep on making the same mistake. And Lou brought this up in the other room. We're talking about, at one time, this guy was on the cutting edge.
Yes.
This guy was the nerd
super nerd.
Right? Since
has
then,
his own theme music and everything.
And I'll give him
every
credit.
Every team right now employs 10 Bill Jameses.
Exactly.
They all hire these kids now. They don't need Bill James for special projects or whatever. I mean, the guys, Everybody, I laugh every spring when the Bill James like predictions come out. You know what I mean? And they, I mean, because there's nothing drastic. You know, it's like, let's see, Xander Bogaerts. Lou, what do you think is good? Because I can do Bill James' book. What do you think he's going to do? 295, 23, and he's going to drive in 97. We'll do Mookie. Oh, I think Mookie's going to hit 315. He'll hit 30, and he'll drive in 80, 85. Like, he just basically grabs the averages of guys over the last course of the last two or three years and then just spits them out. But we all look at, like, Bill James' predictions. He's outdated. You don't need him anymore. One comment on Twitter, get rid of him before it gets worse.
Can I just bring this up? Hold on 1 second. I would just want to bring this up to the Red Sox because we've tried to get Sam Kennedy on it. Sam's been great with the show, and he usually responds. And for some reason, they wanted to let their statement, right? You had correspondence with them, Lou. They wanted their statement
to
stand,
clear.
Right? They wanted to stand. They didn't want to talk about it. And maybe they don't want to get into it. Maybe this is a situation where the staff over there has to worry about John Henry's feelings because maybe it's John Henry that's holding on to this guy. But they had to change the name of Yawkey Way because of the past, because there was some pressure on this, right? And then apparently they couldn't have Schilling around for events or whatever because Schilling was making what they sensed were asinine political comments or whatever. The Adam Jones thing, they reacted a certain way because they felt that that's what the public needed to hear, okay? They did all of that. Why is this guy still here? We're going back to 2012, okay,
can we
2014,
2017. Okay, so
2012.
I mean, his Sandusky stuff those were his opinions. Stupid and completely just dumb. Okay, but those are his opinions based on his life. Stupid. Okay, right now these comments. Even the Kevin Spacey is stupid, okay? But he's an idiot.
Kevin Spacey comments in the middle of hashtag MeToo movement.
Still stupid.
This guy's sitting there saying, really? It's 30 years stupid. Ago. I mean, what did he really do? Do we have any proof?
Stupid.
I mean, come on.
How many times am I going to say that?
Idiot.
But is there anything – what's inappropriate about what he's saying right now? I don't want to take his side, but to me, he sounds like a jealous person.
Well, he is
jealous. He sounds like
person.
He's jealous of the players making all this money.
No, you're
like
right.
Like his one comment, he says – you know, we had this one guy, Chris Towers of CBS Sports, replied to him, said, what about the players who are drastically underpaid for most of their careers / primes? And he responded, my heart bleeds for them. This guy is jealous. So he's a super nerd. He can never be a player. He can only, you know, exactly. That's who he is. And he had the athletic skill to be on the field. So what does he do? He rags on them. He mocks them. He makes fun of them, you know, because you're replaceable when, in fact, they're not.
Yeah, but if you're the Red Sox, and you nailed it. That's exactly what he is. I've had dealings in the past. This is what he is. He's jealous when he sees $300 million.
Yeah,
you don't need to pay $300
he's such
million.
He's a hater.
You need to pay somebody like me $1 million to work behind the scenes and put the numbers together.
But Christian,
and I can get any.
Christian's right.
Yeah. No, he's absolutely right.
I'm just saying
right.
For his comments about Sandusky, his questioning of Kevin Spacey, whether he should answer these claims, unsubstantiated claims, that's worse than just throwing out there on Twitter that baseball players are replaceable.
No question.
Right? That's worse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know people jumped on it, and it got some attention. And again, my advice would be cut bait now before it gets worse. It ain't going to get better.
No, it's not getting better.
It's not going to get better. A lot of people you listen to, you read on Twitter that you respect highly, that on Twitter right now you're looking at going, maybe we should put the keyboard away.
Yeah, I think this
the thing is that
I love Peter Gammons, but you should put the keyboard away.
Peter should put the
keyboard away.
And Peter, by the way, has always been one of these Bill James supporters, apologist for him. Peter.
Because
hold on, Peter Gammons is constantly bitching about certain things that Trump and others say politically. Peter, you listen to what this guy's saying. Listen what he has said in the past. How can you be supportive of anything he's saying?
When I read your magazine.
But I'm just saying, like a lot of people are like, did you see what Peter did? And I love Peter, but I'm like, oh, God, just stop tweeting.
Right. See, here's the thing. When I see comments like this, it's easy to kind of read through them and see what their real intent is, right? Because when I read it, I was like, this guy's drunk. He's drunk. He's venting. He's pissed off. He wished he was really in control, like he was a GM or he was the owner, because no one could run a team like him because he knows exactly where to put the players. Then you mentioned Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
You mentioned Verlander, right? So he's like, let me get into this mess real quick. And he says, wonder if Red Sox win the World Series with a replacement player for Mookie Betts, J.D. Martinez, David Price, Bogarts, Jackie Bradley Jr., Chris Sale, Rick Porcello. I don't know who this other guy is.
Benintendi.
Benintendi, Devers, Kimbrel, or whatever.
It keeps going.
I mean, it goes on, and then it goes on.
But see, that's why I think this stat war wins above replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So if a guy is like, you know, I just think you just, the way you think about it, if someone is like the greatest war is like 9, you know? So the greatest player in the league, you grab some replacement player and just win 9 less games. Okay. The Red Sox win 99. You know what I mean? And or, you know, if you're, you know, a normal player, it'd be like +2 or +3 war. That's a good player. Only worth 2 wins. You know, so this is the mentality. Like, yeah, whatever. Bogarts, what was his war? 4? Yeah, great. Give me a replacement player so I win 4 less games.
Excuse
maybe.
Me, Lisa,
I don't know.
I couldn't help
it's,
over
you know,
here.
But it's just minimizing
it's a
what players bring
it's
on a daily basis.
You're right. It's a problem with the game. And I will say this. Then if Bill James is right, and I know John Henry really is like this guy, likes the nerd aspect of it, likes the numbers and crunching, and maybe that gives us an edge or whatever.
Shut up, nerd!
If that's the case, then John Henry and these other owners must be total idiots if Bill James is right. Because why would you pay somebody $217 million to be on your team when you can get any Tom, Dick, or Harry, you can get the beer vendor on the third base line to go out there and throw the ball? Right? Maybe he could throw the ball 75, 80 miles an hour. You don't need David Price. You don't need to pay anybody $300 million. So is Bill James saying that the owners are buffoons and idiots?
Yes. Yes. See, he thinks he should be in charge, right? Can you imagine if this guy was in charge of your team? If this guy was making all the answers? And that's why I think the biggest thing from Cora that we all saw was the perfect mix and perfect balance between analytics and gut. He used them both. He did what he thought was right based on the energy level and the vibe he was getting from his team and exactly what the information he was getting from upstairs, right? All the analytics, right? Hey, the analytics say to do this. Okay, well, I see it, but he's kind of showing me this, so I'm going to go with this, right? You kind of base your decision on both sides of the information. This guy, I can't even believe we're even like taking this guy seriously. He's a dope.
No, well, hold on. Wait a minute. We're not taking him seriously. Here's who's taking him seriously. The Red Sox, despite the fact that this guy continuously does this stuff. How do they take him seriously?
No, I think they take
how do
his
they
numbers.
Stay with
they
him?
Take his numbers. I remember the first
but
time.
But who's right?
Started
you can
working.
Find other people
no,
that can
I,
do
now
this
you
now.
Can.
It's a whole cottage industry out there.
He was in love with Will Middlebrooks, I think. The last year he was here, and I remember reading like a whole stat. Like he was doing the whole, like, you know. What
he's wrong a lot.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Was he wrong?
He's wrong a lot.
I remember
lot.
Like, all right, okay, who's this guy, Bill James? The guy, he looks like he's really smart. Yeah. So I went ahead and I started spitting out some of his numbers, and I was like, wait. This guy sucks. It didn't take me but a month to figure out that Will Middlebrooks was not going to figure it out. But whatever, right? I mean, you know, every now and then a
well, that's you
got to
use your
the
eyes.
Acorn.
The computer doesn't spit it out. You know, it's called eyeball test. You know what I mean? If the computer doesn't spit it, spit whatever it spits out. And I'm not
then
saying that sabermetrics are a bunch of crap. We all know now what they are, and as far as scouting and positioning, and it's great. Bottom line is, you don't need Bill James anymore. I mean, there's. The Red Sox probably have, like I said, I don't know, 10 guys, but probably 8, 9, 10 guys that are better than
would
Bill
you be,
James.
Would you
that
be
are better than Bill James
I,
ever was.
Lou, would you be surprised
at his job?
Would you be surprised if people over in baseball operations don't behind his back laugh at him and roll their eyes?
I think that there's respect for him because of what he started, and he got people to open up eyes as far as numbers and what it could be. And you know, it's not like Billy. It's like Billy Bean. You know what I mean with Moneyball. You know, and that's all about just trying to find value where others don't. That's all it is. But it opened people's eyes. So I'm sure that there's respect. But at the same point, you're like, okay, Bill, we've taken it to another level. Okay, thank you for introducing this part of the game to us. But we're so far beyond where you started. We don't need you anymore. So why you got to deal with this? Maybe it is. I don't know, John Henry. Maybe it's just respect.
I have to
you
laugh.
Know, he brought him in 2002. It's just out of respect. He's just going to stay with him, which I think
but
it's
again,
time to cut bait. Because I'm telling you, ain't going to get any better.
I mean, but you can't. I still say that this isn't that bad as far as, I mean, he's spitting off. His tone is a little misplaced and a little arrogant and aggressive for, you know, as far as what I think most players and, you know, and all of us especially would look at. But what is he saying? He's like, well, you know, everybody's replaceable, which in a sense is correct. Everybody is replaceable. And then he kind of like, you know, protects himself a little bit. And he says, you know, in 3 years, it would make no difference whatsoever. So you're saying in 3 years, if you got rid of Mookie, JD, Jackie Bradley Jr., Andrew Benintendi, Chris Sale, in 3 years from now, you could field a team that was just as good?
Out of the independent league. He's out of his mind. He's out
maybe
of his
in the Imagination
mind.
League. Maybe in the Imagination League. You know, in the Imagination
out
League,
of his mind.
You're a starting pitcher.
I am.
You're really good.
I am. Listen, do I look...
And Lou's legs are not bowed. He's like 6'4".
Do I look like a beer... Do I look like a beer vendor?
And, you know,
absolutely.
And speaking of stats and analytics, I actually have a stat that maybe will
save
prove...
It. Save
or,
it
I'm
later.
Not going to say now.
Save it.
But it will
save
maybe...
Save it when we talk
like,
football.
You know, yeah, it's stat. It's a Tom Brady stat, too.
Yeah, I'm going to jump ugly on that one. But we'll get to that later. Yeah, we're going to get to that one later. So this is... this is Tony Clark today. He's the MLB Players Association Executive Director. The comments Bill James made yesterday are both reckless and insulting considering our game's history regarding the use of replacement players. The players are the game, and our fans have an opportunity to enjoy the most talented baseball players in the world every season. If these sentiments resonate beyond this one individual, then any challenges that lie ahead will be more difficult to overcome than initially anticipated. Now, you were bringing up a comment somebody else made. It's getting a little absurd with some people now.
Well, the guy that wrote that, was it Bob Dare? Bear?
Whatever. Dare,
Bob
yeah.
Bear.
Right.
He was, you know, saying how Red Sox players, majors or minors, should be deeply concerned by the comment.
Nah.
As should free agents who might consider joining the Red Sox or a player who happens to get traded to the Red Sox.
Nah, it's like guys.
That's Billy. I'll call you Billy. Billy Bear. We're close, Billy. Calm down, dude. Lighten up, Francis. Okay, okay. They cut you. You think that like Steve Pearce? You think Joe Kelly, Nathan Eovaldi, sitting there saying, "You know what, man? I would love to come back here. I love this group. We accomplished something great, but I don't know, man. This guy worked for the Red Sox. I don't think I want to come back.
How much money are they going to pay?
Because he says I'm replaceable. Come on, dude.
No.
Lighten up.
No.
Yeah, whatever. How much are you going to pay me? Want me to come back? There you go.
You got bells ringing over there, Tinkerbell? What do you got going on over there?
Tinkerbell?
What do you got going on over there?
Really?
Yeah.
HR!
What do you got going on over there? I'm hearing little sounds out of your section of the room.
Please, the way you're... As much as your phone goes off, I don't think you have any place
to
talk.
That's why I jumped and seized the opportunity.
Also, next thing we hear home movies of Ordway. Old school home movies. It was Christmas, like 95 Christmas. I can't believe I got this new VH on.
No, you're right, Lou. That's taking it to the next level of absurdity. But this guy has been doing this for years. If you follow him on Twitter, you know what I'm talking about. He's out of his mind. He is literally out of his mind. And I just
it's like
can't,
the Mike Leach of
and
of
I just
analytics.
And I can't believe that he brings that. I would love to hear the Red Sox come out with a statement today, whether it's John Henry or Tom or whomever, and say, you know what, you know, we regret this. We don't, you know, we don't agree with it, which is pretty much what they've said today. But this guy brings so much to the table because he doesn't. Mookie Betts brings it to the table. J.D. Martinez, Alex Cora brings it. People in the front office, Dave Dombrowski, all of your scouts. Those are the people that bring it. This guy doesn't bring anything. Maybe he did it one time. I will give him credit for a closer by committee. You may remember that,
yep.
Lou. And, you know, he said sometimes you want the closer in the seventh inning as opposed to the ninth. It made some sense. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't been a complete buffoon his entire life, but he's reached the period in his life where it is pure buffoonery.
Suck on it.
Right, exactly. And they need to move.
Somebody call
they
Alex
need
for
to
a
move
comment.
Him out of here because they talk all the time about it's what people say. It's, you know,
well,
it's,
so
it's jockey,
with their,
it's,
with their...
it's shilling, you know, it's what people say, and we need to be responsible to society. Well, be responsible to society. This guy is a buffoon right now. He makes you look bad.
I don't think this, again, like this whole society thing that you're bringing up, like, I don't see it with this. The other stuff, most definitely. I mean,
but they let him pass.
No,
on the
I'm
other
with you.
Stuff.
I mean, this is. I don't know how
three?
Bad this is. He just looks like the same other all the other kooks that are out right. there that are like saying stupid stuff.
Quite common in the town where I grew up.
I miss that.
Well, this is just stupid for the game itself. I mean, you can't. You're working in the game, and you're actually coming out and saying that the players are irrelevant?
Right. Well, see,
you know, you work in the industry, and you're saying the participants in the industry, are, we don't need them. All we need are the geeks with a little pencil pocket.
Again, there's going to be a revolution.
Offices.
He thinks there's going to be some sort of revolution.
It's so weird. The players are not the game any more than the beer vendors are. So, I mean, just that statement alone. So the beer vendors up there are just as important to the game as the players on the field?
Yeah.
Hey, Lou, if I can run off about 68 Bud Lights in a half hour, that's productive.
I mean, do you think like Cora and other managers are lying, you know, when they sit there and say, listen, it's not about me and A.J. Hinch, it's about the players on the field. Or it's not about me deciding to pinch hit, you know, Eduardo Nunez versus Alex Wood. It's really about him being able to hit that slider that I think he's capable of. It's about the players. I can make decisions, man, to put him in good spots. I can call a hit and run, but if that guy leaves early and gets picked off, or this guy swings and misses and we're out, like, you know, it ain't me. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the players in the field. And this guy's like, it's got nothing to do with them.
Well, you know
what? Let's just get rid of all the great players. We'll call up kids that aren't ready, and I'm sure the game will be much better off, Bill. We'll watch kids make errors, walk guys, give up hits, can't turn double plays. I mean, striking out all day long like they do anyway.
You know,
and it won't change at all the game. People enjoy it just as much.
Lou, he is going to get a World Series ring.
Go away, retire.
He's going to get a World Series ring, just like Mookie's going to get, just like JD's going to get, just like Alex is going to get.
Stop
like
using
David Price is
just cut
get.
Ties now.
That they have to.
You know,
after this, they have to. I mean, he's an embarrassment right now to the game. If you're Red Sox executives, you've got to show up, and you're at the general manager meetings, and you have to sit there and say, he's a little weird, he's a little off base.
I think you're overdoing it. You're overdoing it with this.
I don't think you'll survive this. I think the Red Sox will
survive. What?
I think the Red Sox will finally dump him. Now.
Well, I mean, this may be, you know, a little. They may be embarrassed, you know, based on, because two things. He's jealous and he's got a God complex.
Right. It's
thinks
like every,
his
you know what?
Poop doesn't stink. It's like, he thinks he's better than you.
It's like everything else. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it already seems to me, and you know how this works. I mean, the more public attention it gets, the more the media picks up on it, the more that employee is forced to deal with it.
Right.
It already seems like, which is crazy, that this is getting more attention than his comments about Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
That his comments about Sandusky. Right. Yeah, they are. And that's kind of what it takes. Are they more severe? Not in my mind.
Yeah.
But if it gets more attention from them, just move on. It's for the best.
No, I do remember the Sandusky stuff, Lou, and he was a real paterno guy because he just loves Penn State. Oh, you know. And I think at that time, he said a lot of stuff that was bizarre. We played one of them, which is it's not uncommon for adults and kids to be, you know, taking showers together. Ooh, okay. But he said a
swimming
lot of
naked?
He said a lot of other stuff during that period of time that Joe would never do this. Joe had no idea. And you talk to people who are around the college game, and they tell you Joe Paterno knew everything. Everything went through Joe Paterno. How was Joe Paterno holding on to a job as a coach of a college football team in his mid-80s? He was doing it because they couldn't get rid of him. They couldn't get rid of him. He was the most powerful person in that town.
You know, it's funny. In this article also, they were talking about comparing it to the replacements back when the NFL, they had that strike.
Right.
Just how bad. Right. And so you want to sit there and replace all the great players? This is exactly what it's going to look like. Everyone's going to suck. You want to know what it would look like if you get – look at the XFL. Look at the Canadian football.
I got this one.
Look at those were all –
how about this?
Everybody who – arena football. That's where they go.
Go watch the Jets-Buffalo Sunday. There you go.
Even those better.
Wait a minute, that doesn't count. Those are NFL teams.
What do you mean, though?
Those are NFL teams.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All right, we're gonna get
you watch that game. I ain't.
Yeah, we're going to get to the phone calls here. Bill James, still employed as a consultant by the Red Sox. Over and over and over again, we've had these incidents. Is this the final straw for Bill James? Should he be gone? 617-779-7937, right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Sandusky had a massive reputation for his good works with children. Sports Illustrated wrote a glowing article about it. This created a smokescreen behind which Sandusky operated. Ironically, Paterno is one of the very few people who didn't buy into that smokescreen. Paterno is one of the very few people who saw Sandusky and saw, you know, a coach who wasn't doing his job anymore, rather than a hero. Whereas the university was giving tens of thousands of dollars every year to help support Sandusky's charitable activities, Paterno didn't get involved in it, didn't help out. The people who are responsible for it are the media.
The media was responsible. That's Bill James. By the way, for a guy that deals with reality of numbers, puts them together on a piece of paper or on a computer screen, and sits there and says, this is why this happens, because of these numbers. He's totally blind when it comes to the Paterno thing. He couldn't be more wrong, and all of the investigation proved that everything he was saying was all wrong. His problem was that he had this adoring love for Penn State and Joe Paterno that he was a total fanboy for.
But a lot of people, if you go back, like that was... I mean, it was like a cult follow, because I went out there. I was out there the year that he died. They had just removed the statue. Bill O'Brien had just taken over. I went down to their spring ball and like met with some of the coach, some of the administrative people who were still left over but were leaving, coaches and players. I mean, you name it, they all. It was. I almost felt like I was in some crazy land.
Like it's a cult. It was a fanboy mentality.
Yes, it was. So I'm not surprised. And think about most people who grew up in Western Pennsylvania. Think what they think about Joe Paterno and Sandusky. Players, Matt Millen, our guy that we called up in Philly, what's his name, the fullback, John Ritchie, was like crying on ESPN talking about Joe Paterno. I mean, give me a break.
Well, as you
they
know,
don't live in the real world.
But as you know, too, the whole economy of that entire region is dependent on Penn State football. Everybody makes money off of it. Stores, businesses,
yeah, I know,
whatever.
But you're right. It was cult. Right. There's no question about it. It was cult.
Exactly.
Blaming the media.
Blame it to media.
Yeah, the media's fault.
It's got to be somebody else's fault.
It's got to be somebody
else's
fault. Now he's blaming you guys, the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Blaming you guys. You guys.
The problem is you just make too much money. I wonder, what does he get paid as a consultant?
Go to this guy.
Like
he thinks he's
right. He writes books. He does all this other stuff. I'm sure he gets paid a fine
per stat,
doing all this
every
different
stat
stuff.
Gets like 5 cents
I'm
on
sure
the dollar.
I'm sure he does fine. He does a zillion different things. But he looks at the possibility of Bryce Harper making $300 million, of Mookie Betts making $300 million, and that just drives him crazy. You said it. He's jealous. He's real jealous. He can't deal with this stuff. But he's off his rocker when it comes to this other stuff. Really off his rocker. Let's go to the phone calls. Here's Eric. What's up, Eric?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
So real quick, I want to give my case about why that guy might have a good point about why players can be replaceable.
Oh, good. I want to hear it.
All right, so first of all, I've been a sports fan for a while now, and I'd say football is my favorite sport to watch.
Serious?
And I'm more of a fan of the AAF than I am of the NFL. I have not been.
What's the AAF?
What's the AAF? That really rocks.
What is the AAF?
It's a new pro football league coming out after the Super Bowl.
Oh, it's for retired. It's for retired players.
So you're a bigger.
Eric,
you're a bigger fan of a football league that hasn't come out yet.
Yes, I'm already planning on saving my money to go to a game.
She lied. Get out of here.
Is this Bill James?
Is this Kirk?
Oh, it is Kirk.
This could be Kirk.
Is this Kirk?
No, don't say it is. Just act like,
it
is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Eric, go ahead. Finish,
go,
Eric. You're making
Eric.
A good point.
Go ahead, Eric.
It's because Michael Vick is the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta Legends, and
That's
I spent
right.
all my money following him around the country.
Hey, what do you think of Trenny?
Who? The lady on... the show?
Yeah.
The
lady on the show.
Can you do an impersonation of her, please?
Oh, what?
Can you do an impersonation of her, please?
No, but did you hear my Liam Neeson impression from Taken on Dale and Keith?
Oh, Lord. Oh, God. This is the guy that says, you had, I'm going to get you,
Dale
sucker.
And Keith doing Liam.
No, guys, do you know the story about how I followed Michael Vick? You know how you...
No, I don't.
No.
I'm good.
Between 10 and 2.
Okay, he's a stalker of Michael Vick, okay?
Like a real-life stalker.
No, he probably supported him, too.
That's a joke. He's not.
I feel like he believes it.
No, that's a guy's a joke.
I've been watching the Red Sox since 1938. Mel Parnell would not have stood for this today.
It did sound a little bit like Dick from that.
I'm telling you what's what it is.
I think I like that guy.
It's perfect.
It's good to hear from Kirk.
Yeah, I'm glad he's doing well.
It did sound a little bit like Bill James. The guy did sound bit like him.
Could have been.
And the AAFL, that's the new, I guess,
it's
minor
two different
league.
Leagues, right? There's two different
That is the minor league football. Yeah, there's the XFL is coming back, and this is the AAFL is like Bill Polian, Troy Polamalu, that whole thing. Like my nephew's going to be on the Arizona team.
Oh, good. He'll finally have a job.
I know. For 3 months. Thank you. I mean, they're paying like $75,000 to $100,000 for – what, 3 months worth of work, 8 games.
They're paying that much?
Yeah.
Does Bill James know this? That's a lot of money for, you know, you could get the beer vendors to.
Think about it. If you play in the AAFL in the spring, no, and really the winter, right, because it starts right after the Super Bowl, and then you could actually play for them and then play in Canada and then play in the NFL.
Beautiful.
So you can really get like 3 different sets of checks.
That may be a problem if they're paying that much money to those players. For the league.
No, it's nothing.
Well, I know it's nothing, but that's still a lot more money than they were paying in the old days with the XFL.
Mm-hmm. So I don't remember what they were paying the XFL.
Well, the USFL. Remember that?
Well, they were paying everybody in the USFL. Yeah, they were paying like big dollars
big
back
dollars
then.
That.
Donald,
be a legit
Trump?
New league.
Donald yeah. Trump was
big
paying big
dollars
bucks.
For
but they were, but they were getting guys out of they were getting guys out of college. LA Express.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Here's John in Andover. Hi, John.
I actually went to an LA Express game, by the way.
What's up, John?
What's up, John?
I just wanted to bring up. I had never heard that tape you guys just put out about the comments from Bill James about Sandusky. And one question I have for you guys, and you can take it and answer it off the air if you know. But you know, I guess it was 5-6 years ago. I wonder how come nobody pulled the string. That's a pretty outrageous statement that person made.
Oh, I remember talking about it and playing even Sandusky. I remember that and the space he won last year. We remember talking about it because Red Sox put a statement out. But it just, and again, like this one is not in the same ballpark. I mean, I know some players would be offended. And it's just a stupid comment, but there's plenty of stupid comments on Twitter.
Who's the other? There was another major writer, and I'm trying to remember his name, who was also doing the same thing, being very supportive of Paterno. And again, it was all a fanboy issue. But that's what this is. And it was disgusting, the stuff that he was saying. And even when the investigation, when evidence was coming out, he would continue to support Paterno. He would never sit there and say, okay, you got me. Okay, mm-hmm. there's too much evidence now. I got to change my opinion on this one. He didn't.
Yeah,
he stuck with it.
His point this time, Glenn, about the players is ridiculous. And then, you know, it's like Bill James, like, thinks he's some sort of like representation of who the Red Sox are, what they've accomplished. I mean, I remember when Dave Roberts clearly stole second base and Bill James came up and drove him in 2001.
it's true.
Yeah,
but, it's a good point.
Good stroke.
Point.
He's taking way more credit than he's due. And like I said, he just pops up occasionally, makes something dumb. And the Red Sox should definitely cut ties with this guy if they haven't already.
I don't see where he's valuable. And what he does, because there are so many of these guys, younger guys, probably a lot better at it now, that are doing, you know, extreme numbers. He was at cutting edge at the time, and I'll give him credit. And does he deserve a place somewhere in baseball that he actually brought something to
the
table at one time?
Way down in the
bottom
of the basement.
So he did at one time.
Yeah, he does.
At one time, he brought something to the table because we all know the game has become far more analytical, and he was part of that.
I'll give him credit because he was introducing it when everybody was pushing back.
Yeah.
You know, like back when he was talking about sabermetrics, and people looking at him like it was crazy talk. You know, it was. You know, there's still some holding on now that are like, you know, I think you need a blend of it, but there's still some that are like, whatever, numbers don't mean anything. You know, you don't learn anything from numbers. You
got
to play the game in the field,
me.
You know, but no, that's just not the case anymore. Numbers say a lot, and scouting reports say a lot, and the way they look at games now, it says a lot. So when he was doing it, everybody was pushing back. Every baseball person, you know, was in the game for a while, was like, dude, whatever, just get out of your computer, for God's sakes, watch a game. Now, you know, you accept it more. So you give him credit for kind of taking a lot of heat because nobody wanted to listen to him.
All right, so in the past, the Red Sox
we've moved on.
Yeah, the Red Sox have allowed him to say, you know, ridiculous things, off-the-chart stuff. He politicizes all the time on Twitter, and they don't seem to be bothered by that. But in this case, when you've got the Players Association executive director responding to it. Because what you're doing is you're making fun of the players. You're saying that the players aren't important in the game. They have to deal with it here. And I agree, the guy that you mentioned, Lou, is going over the top. Steve Pierce, nobody's going to sit there and say, I'm not signing with the Red Sox because Bill James is there. But do you actually want the guy on your masthead? Do you want the guy listed as a consultant for your organization when he's basically saying, you're doing it wrong, John Henry? Why are you going to go out and now pay J.D. Martinez all that money when he opts out? Why are you going to pay Mookie Betts all of that money? These players are irrelevant in the game. I could take the beer vendor, throw him out there, and have him play second base, have him play right field. Why do you want a guy like that if he's saying disparaging things about the players in the game? There's one thing if there's some credence to it. There's nothing. This is bizarre.
Well, you just tweeted out again.
Uh-oh.
Oh, here we go.
47 seconds ago. He tweeted out, can someone please point to me something specific that I said that upset people?
Oh, my God.
I didn't say anything about players as assets or anything. Just trying to chase down whatever it is so that I can, if possible, clarify.
Okay. So did some...
I mean, hold on. I would like to, you know, just to jump on board with this. Did he say anything that offended anybody? Who did he offend? Whose feelings are hurt right now?
The executive director of the Players Association. Why did the Red Sox Why did the Red Sox have to make a statement to
that? If you jaywalk and you're associated with them, it's going to just release.
Listen, it's Twitter, so there's plenty of stupid things out there. It's just a stupid comment. Players are not the game any more than beer vendors are.
Okay, whose feelings? Okay, I get it. Okay, I don't agree with it.
No, I'm just saying.
Agree with it. So, but like, whose feelings are hurt
when you're on the football field playing for the New England Patriots? You're not as important for the game as the guy up at the concessions.
Okay, it's just stupid. I get it.
It's just dumb.
I agree, but should my feelings be hurt?
No, I think players should just sit there and say, that's just dumb.
Just another kook just like just saying stupid stuff.
Stupid stuff
on
Twitter.
I guess that's my issue.
I'm with you.
It's like
the other stuff is worse.
Oh, it's like, this is
like
nothing.
But if this gets enough attention for them to just finally realize they should walk away because, again, he did this a year ago. He did this 6 years ago. He did it, you know, last night. Just making a fool of himself. He's associated with your organization. I mean, everywhere you look, the headline is Red Sox Senior Advisor.
Yeah.
That's the headline.
Well, he's listed as such.
Red Sox Senior Advisor Bill James thinks all baseball players are replaceable. I mean, look at the headlines everywhere. It's Red Sox Advisor, Senior Red Sox. So they keep over there at Yawkey Way, whatever the hell it's called, Jersey Street. They're very sensitive to be associated with many things. They are being associated with Bill James all the time, and this guy is a quack.
He's a quack.
Let's go, Red Sox.
It's time to move on.
They will move on. I'm convinced they'll move on. Because I think on the whole, though, they've done some strange stuff over the years. I think they're pretty reasonable people over there. This makes no sense to hold on to him right now. Christian, it would be like it would be like you coming on the air and saying, you know, management has nothing to do with the success of a radio station. Okay, bad example.
Well,
Start
over again. All right, give me another chance.
I'll think of another thing. 617-779-7937.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
A hitter as good as Mookie Betts Cody Bellinger has a huge impact, whether he's on up first or whether he's up third, and I don't think mathematically it makes much difference. I do see the impact that Mookie has had on teams in being a red button that you hit right away. You don't get any spare time to start the game.
The beer vendor could do that. I mean, please. So Bill James
pissed off. Again, that human element.
Yeah.
You know, there's times when he's sitting there saying he should be hitting third, he should be hitting fourth.
Yeah.
He likes hitting leadoff.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try to put him third, but he really likes hitting leadoff. The numbers say this, the numbers say that. Whatever.
Listen, Mookie retired tomorrow. We could easily replace him.
It's with you.
Take me. Take anybody off the street. You could actually replace him. So I don't think the Red Sox are going to take their consultants' advice with this one. I actually think they're going to look at putting together this roster next year, try to figure out what they can do. Maybe Nathan Eovaldi, if the money is good.
Bill, what do you think about Eovaldi?
Yeah.
You replace him?
Yeah.
Replace him. Joe Kelly, replace him. Kimber, replace him.
Well, they,
all right. How about next year? Sale, Porcello, JD, Mookie. Replace him.
Well, what was Brazier?
What was Brazier?
They got him out of Japan, right?
An example to back up my point. Right. You don't need these guys.
Can we end this? Because I've heard a lot of this with Nathan Eovaldi, and I want Nathan Eovaldi back in this team next year, and we'll see what the money is going to be. Two Tommy John surgeries, and then he had, what, another elbow issue or whatever. But can we stop this, that he's the perfect guy to be your closer? He's not going to go out there in the free agency market and say, I'll be the closer for $10 or $12 million when some team is probably going to pay him close to, if not $20 million, to be a starter. There's a difference. When you're a free agent, you have that right to go out there and determine who you are. Now, he's a perfect guy to have, as we know now, in the postseason, because he can become the rover. He can occupy a second guy. Right.
Everybody can.
Right.
If you're willing.
But during the regular season, why would he be the closer?
Like, Kershaw could have been a rover. Walker Buehler could have been a rover. Anybody can. But we have to remember that there's actually a full season and there's a postseason. Postseason, all hell breaks loose. All right? You can't do what the Red Sox did in the postseason and regular season. I mean, you can't have guys skipping bullpen days and pitching the eighth inning. You know, you can't do it. You can't not have somebody to close out a baseball game. Now, maybe that guy steps up, whoever it might be. But, no, he's a starter. I don't know where the money's going to be. The one thing I think about is at some point you got to kind of mesh your roster together, the timeline of when pitchers are available. So next offseason you got Porcello and Sale both up. You know, and I'm not signing and giving an extension to Chris Sale right now. Good God, why would you do that, right? You got to see if your shoulder's okay. But I would be interested in Eovaldi, you know, for, I don't know, 3 years, maybe an option. I don't know, 29, whatever it is. But if I did that, I would also be taking calls on Rick Porcello. So at least, you know.
Trade him away.
I would take calls. Right. Like, I wouldn't just give him away. Right. But I would take calls. Say, hey, 1 year, 21 and a half.
Right.
Because do you really want in the offseason to be, you know, a year from now, to have Porcello and Sale both up?
Right.
I mean, you can be. But if you could replace one of them now and wait on Chris Sale to see if he's going to be worth it or not, I would do that.
So here's Jim Bowden, who puts together the 35 top free agents out there, and he gives you a contract prediction, and he gives you comparables or whatever. I think he's got it low. He's got 3 years, AAV of $14 million a year, a three-year $42 million deal. I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yes.
Would you not?
Yes.
If that's the money that he's going to get in the open market with them, because you're going to make the playoffs. At least you're built to make the playoffs. This guy, the value he presents for you in the postseason because of the flexibility you're using him out of the pen and starting with like a day or 2 days of rest.
Alex Speer had a good article yesterday that says basically going into this year, they're already at like 215 or 16 million. Already. You know, and so. And that has to do with guys under contract, arbitration cases, and what the expectations are. Like someone like Mookie, he's going to go to about $19.5 million in arbitration. And goes with some minor league guys that got under contract, like a Benintendi, Devers. He factored in everything. And then there's about $10 to $15 million of insurance that you have to factor in. And that 215 was basically, and he said everybody likes to have a $10 million buffer going into the trade deadline. So essentially they're really like 2.25. So that's why you start talking about it, too. Okay, no, it's not your money. I understand that. But I mean, if you're going to give, you know, 16 or 14 annual to Eovaldi, if you're going to give 8, maybe 8, 9, I don't know, to Kelly, if you're thinking about it, 6, 7 to Pierce, you know, do you take 21, 22 million of Porcello off the books?
Yeah.
And move forward.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting
idea. He already traded his ass once.
Yeah.
And Dombrowski did.
But you'd have to do the Eovaldi deal first. I mean, you'd have to do that before you deal. You have to be guaranteed that you're going to replace him.
Because they didn't take calls.
Right. You've got to replace him. There's other things you can do, though, can you not? I mean, Betts, you're going to have to wait until you get to free agency.
They've already tried
to sign him. He hasn't done it.
Ain't going to happen.
Bogaerts is represented by your buddy Scott Boras.
Ain't going to happen.
And you got Jackie Bradley Jr. out there in center field. Same thing. He's going to wait to get to free agency. He's the guy, I hate to say it. I know I'm going to be presented here as, oh, you just hate JBJ. Hey. You can't stand him.
ALCS MVP.
He was great. He was terrific. But you deal him in this offseason if you want to, because he's not going to be one of those guys. You're signing Betts long-term when you have the opportunity in free agency.
Well,
Bogaerts when you get the opportunity. You're signing him for the long run. Benintendi is your guy. You move him to center. I'm sorry. Jackie Bradley Jr. is the guy you've got to look at in this offseason. He's a Boris guy. He's going to hold out. Maybe you play that game. You play the game in the offseason that he was pretty damn good second half of the season. He was pretty damn good in the postseason. This may be the high spot. You got a high. You got a stock right now that's right up here. This is where you may deal him.
Isn't the first line of business like figuring out what you're going to do with Kimbrell? Isn't it like the
you're not qualifying offer.
He's, I mean, he's not going to sign that, right? I mean, and then
you officially have to wait. I think it's Monday. I think Monday, everybody, there was, what, seven guys? I think there was seven guys that were qualified.
You got to wait till
Monday.
That's correct.
And they'll either accept it or deny it. And if he denies it, then you're right. And then Dombrowski can sit there, and then he could talk to Joe Kelly. You know, and then he could talk to other relievers that are out there. There's a lot of guys out there, relievers. Right. Guys like Robertson, who I like. You know, I don't know the health of Herrera's ankle. I have no clue what's going on there.
Like him, though.
Familia, he's out there. So, I mean, there's some guys out there. The kid Ottavino from Colorado.
Zach Britton is out there. There's tons of...
There's a lot of guys.
There's closers. So you don't have a problem if you lose him with, you know, losing out on closers. There are tons of them out there that you're going to get an opportunity to get. This is an interesting offseason in free agency because there are a couple guys you can look at here that make an awful lot of sense. Now, if you need another starter, it looks like Charlie Morton, who's now, what, 34 going on 35?
Yep, like him.
Okay. He may be a guy you look at and try to sign him for a one-year deal with an option where, you know, he can make more money down the road. But there are guys that you can kind of punch in that you can fill a lot of your holes here. But closer, I don't think, is an issue. And you can talk about the guys that you presently have. What was Joe Kelly? Do you remember? I think Bowden said he was going to get a 3-year deal at $8 million a year.
Two at 18, I think.
Two at 18?
And then all these guys were 2 and 20, like 10 a year. Like all these closers, Familia, Herrera, Robertson. So guys with experience. I don't know how you guys feel about Kelly, but I'd bring him back.
I would, too.
I would bring Joe Kelly back.
Wait a minute. At what price, though?
No, forget about the price. Somebody, what is it? Hold on. Forget about the price. At what, though? As a closer or as a starter?
Joe freaking Kelly.
Well, you don't know.
You know what? As a reliever.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't know.
As a reliever. Because I feel like Joe Kelly, like I don't, I think that there was some things that you can look at and reasons why he got a little more consistent. He was great early on, but he got consistent late in the year. He got rid of the slider. So it was just fastball, curveball, changeup. And he threw his curveball for more for strikes. The changeup became dominant, you know, as the season went on. And I felt like the last 3 or 4 years, you're trying to figure what the hell this guy is when you acquired him. And it sort of feels like Andrew Miller to me.
Okay.
So
well, that's a good thing.
Well, I know in that, you know, you finally might have figured him out, and then you're going to let him go somewhere else and be dominant for the next 3 years, 2 years, whatever it might be. I don't know, 3 years. But I think you bring him back. You tell Brazier to work on his changeup all offseason.
Bring him back.
Barnes, well, those guys are going to be back.
Right.
You know, so that's not a problem. And then you go get one other guy from that pool of
Familia.
Guys that have closed in the past Robertson. And say, hey, we don't know. Maybe, I don't know the health of Andrew Miller. I think he's done. But maybe he gets healthy. Maybe you can get him on a cheap dollars. Who knows? But something, you get another arm and you're good. You just move on from Kimbrel.
Well, maybe you do that at the end, though. You go spot one of these guys that you want. You get him, and then at the end, if a guy like Miller is not getting big dollars because there's physical concerns right now, and he was not the same guy the second half of the year, maybe you pick him up for cheap dollars short term. He's got to revive his career, and then you see what happens, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he gets healthy next year. Maybe he is what he was a year ago.
I don't know about Jackie, though. His numbers, his figures are going to be about 875 this year in arbitration. I think you can stomach that.
Except they don't want to go into that luxury tax.
Are they going to?
But the steeper they go into it, the cost...
It jumps to 246.
And it affects
this year.
It affects their drafting and affects
it jumps
picks
to
and stuff like
246,
that.
But still, you don't have much wiggle room. You're right. And the thing with baseball, too, I remember at the deadline, the guys that were traded with, like, you know, as rentals or year left or those types of players, you weren't getting much of a return, you know, unless it was, like, the elite player, whatever. So he said he could see in the future teams trying to deal guys with 2 years left.
Yeah.
To try to get a return.
Yeah.
2 years left. Yeah. And Jackie's got 2 years left.
You get more in return. But you tell me.
But I think for 875, you bring him back.
But you tell me. Look at the calendar. Look at what they have to do in the next 2 or 3 years. and you tell me how they re-sign Jackie Bradley Jr.
They're not going to re. You're talking about after. No, he's got 2 years left of arbitration.
Right. They're not going.
That's the most he'll be here.
So why not save some of the money right now and kind of work around that? I'm not sure.
No, but 875. How much are you saving?
You're 7.875. Okay, that's what you're saving.
You going to replace him at all or no?
Yeah, well, you're going to move Benintendi up there.
And J.D. plays left every day?
J.D.'s going to play most days. You're going to have a fourth outfielder that's going to probably play, what, 50 games, 40 games? Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like him at that. He played, what, 50 games this year. I kind of like him at that number. I think if you try to get 110 out of J.D. in outfield, you know, let's remember, he's had a little history of injuries in the past. And I think you go more than that, what you did last year, 50. In that range, I think he played. You might get in trouble.
Says he likes playing. Okay.
No, he likes it because it's the right thing to say.
Once every 3 days. Yeah. 50
games. He likes to play every 3 days.
Two out of three, it may not have issues.
Christian, can I tell you this? He likes it even more now because he's finding out that he can't win MVP unless he plays. A designated hitter is not going
to
win MVP.
Well, they should go to the National League.
Because of the stupid war number. You know, Bill James.
You think he wants to play every single day?
He wants to play a lot in the outfield.
I'll
he
tell
said
you what.
That.
This is what you should do.
He said
JD,
that a lot.
J.D. Martinez, two things. Okay, so I said, Ryan Brazier, throw your changeup all offseason.
Yep.
And all spring training. Changeup, fastball, changeup, slider. You need a changeup. It needs to be more consistent. If I'm Alex Cora, the first day of spring training or in the offseason, I call J.D. and tell him to buy a first baseman's mitt. Or call up your rep. Why doesn't he play first
base? That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, why doesn't he? Now, in the World Series, it was discussed. I'm like, right. Because the guy's never played it. Okay, so right. In the World Series, it's not the time to take reps.
Yeah.
Spring training is. Off-season is. Work with somebody. Learn how to play first. And then you go to him and you know, you say, listen, I hope that you don't opt out. I hope that you stay here with us after this year. But I'm doing you a favor, by the way. Because if you can play first and right and DH, I mean, you're not limiting yourself to an American League team. You haven't taken 15 teams out of the market for J.D. Martinez. I might be screwing myself long-term because it might be more money to keep you.
Yeah.
But I'm doing you a favor. You want to go to the NL, you can play first base and right.
I think if Brazier wants to throw that changeup, I think he has to get that head off the left shoulder.
That's the problem. He's got to lean it to the other side, right?
Somebody sent me a picture of him like during the celebrations at like the Garden or somewhere, wherever, the Patriots.
Yeah.
And everyone's sitting there looking at the picture. What's he doing? He's leaning left. And I was just like, this guy does it all the time. Lean left.
See, we could be cruel here. He might have like some neck injury or some hearing issue or something we don't even know about. But it is a little strange. Here's Bob next up here on OMF. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Glenn. 2 points. One is you have to question on the Bill James thing whether Red Sox leadership is actually listening to him if you look at where they are payroll-wise. And then secondly, if you look back 3 years, if Bill James's point was, hey, you can spend that kind of money, but not on a $300 million player. If you look back historically where the Red Sox were replacing Charrington in 2015, they rebuilt the team in 3 years.
Yeah, through trades.
So you're saying he's right.
So that's the point.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Hold on, Bob. They're spending more money now than they've ever spent. They did just the opposite. They traded the youth in the organization and brought in high-priced guys, correct?
But Bill James didn't say that you didn't have to have a $217 million payroll. What he said is don't pay a $300 million to one player.
I think they're going against Bill James. Is that your point here, Bob? We're trying to figure out where you're going with
this. My initial point is that they are going against Bill James. My second point, though, is if he's saying that don't spend $300 million on one player. Cause
he's not saying that. He's not saying that.
He didn't say that.
No, he's not saying that. He's basically saying we could go take the beer vendor out of the stands and throw him out there.
These players are not the game.
They're not the game.
That's a stupid comment.
I'll lean on my first point. That holds. They're not listening. They should let him go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You're right.
We agree with that. No, what he's basically...
Well, because, I mean, Dave Dombrowski is the anti-Bill James.
Right.
Because Bill James, and Dave, don't trade away any of these kids. These kids are the replacements. You know, win just as much with, you know, Moncada and Kopech. Don't worry about it. Don't trade these guys.
Right.
Bring all the kids up. Let all the guys go. No big deal. I'm telling you, you'd be just as good. Just as good with Javi Guerra playing shortstop. Trade Bogey.
You're
in a marvel.
What Bill James thinks is that nerds like him, who are sitting up in the office with their computer screens in front of them, are the ones that are making all the decisions.
The Gambletron 2000.
They can manufacture runs. They can tell you how you get the guy from first to home, to first. They can do all that. You don't need to pay any of these players. Athletes like this big lug over here and the mouse over here, useless, waste of time. Why did they spend any money on these guys? You don't need them. You can take Ryan right off the street. You can take me right off the street. We can get the job done.
We'd be just as good.
Nah, it seems a little foolish to me. It just seems a little foolish. All right, we have more and more people who are crossing that line right now and are taking the gigantic leap that suddenly this whole Malcolm Butler stuff with Bill Belichick not playing him last year in the Super Bowl is now crystal clear. It's making all sorts of sense. It's very interesting. We'll get to it next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.